The purpose finally describes it to make it very clear. These are the authorized followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if you're not mentioned there as a branch, well, then you cannot be prominent. Maybe there are some that are not mentioned, but the prominent ones are all mentioned. So in this way, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami very expertly protects Lord Chaitanya's movement. He says, no, this is him, and whoever is not on the other side of the fence, that's with us. So in this way, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is more than a writer, more than a biographer. He's like the architect. He's like the architect defining Lord Chaitanya's movement. He is presenting it to the world. He makes clear, this is bona fide. This is how it is. After this, what I didn't mention in the seventh chapter, immediately after Panchatattva, he describes how Lord Chaitanya went to Benares and defeated the Mayavadis. Although he has not said anything about the appearance yet, he is already jumping to the Mayavadis meeting in Benares. Why? Because when you speak about the Panchatattva, then we spoke about the Lord manifesting himself in different ways. He manifests himself as Nityananda, manifests himself as Advaita Acharya. So it is the one Lord manifesting in many forms. So many people, as soon as they hear that one Lord manifesting in many forms, samadhiya, we're good, prakapipa, sunata. Everyone will say, oh yes, we've heard that before. It actually means he has many forms and energy, but actually it is all manifestation of the same, the one. No, it says. In the next chapter, it defeats that Mayavad. So no, it's not like that. All these personalities remain eternally personalities. It is not that they all give up their personalities. They're all eternal. Advaita Acharya is there in the spiritual world also. Gadadhar is there in the spiritual world. Not that they all lose their personalities and all go up into Brahman. No. They're all eternal personalities. So that is also explained. Anyway, then I said in chapter 13, we begin with the birth and the childhood pastimes of Lord Chaitanya until at around age 14 or 15 he gets married. And then it carries on like that. At age 16 or 17, he goes to Gaya, he becomes initiated, he gradually reveals to his devotees that he is the Supreme Lord. And then the devotees have their pastimes every night in the house of Srivas. And in that house of Srivas, there are kirtans going on, but with closed doors, only devotees allowed inside. And in those kirtans, the devotees are having very ecstatic pastimes, and sometimes they act out Vrindavan pastimes. So they have their own meditation. Because when the devotees start to meditate on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, then the doors are closed. That is an in-house affair. That is not for the outside world. No. And then one day, when Lord Chaitanya is deeply absorbed in his meditation, he is thinking, he is in the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan. And he is just meditating on these gopis of Vrindavan, how they are living in separation from Krishna. Krishna has left Vrindavan. The gopis are feeling great disturbance, great separation. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in that mood, is calling out, Gopi, Gopi, Gopi. One local Brahmana was saying, what is this? He's calling out, Gopi, Gopi. You, me, my pundit, you're acting like you are a big scholar and you are calling Gopi, Gopi. You should be chanting the name of Krishna. And because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in this mood of separation, and he was in a mood, there are different kinds of gopis. And the left-wing gopis, they are by nature a little fiery. So as soon as the student said, you should chant the name of Krishna, and Krishna, this asshole Krishna, then he grabbed a stick and he began to chase this this Brahmin boy. So now it became a big thing, you know. Who does this Nimaikanda think he is? No. We are also Brahmins and we will show him. So it became a big thing. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized that they will not understand me, they will make offenses, and therefore he decided, if I take sannyas, then they will offer respect to me. They will bow down to me, and that's where they get purified. I came to deliver all the conditioned souls, and that way I can deliver them also. Okay, that is the end of the Adivida. And Lord Chaitanya takes sannyas. So let us see from there what is going on. Yes, this is a little bit the chronology.
So, yes, we go over his age quickly from 1 to 5, his miraculous childhood pastimes. At 8, he starts his education, and in 2 years, he's an incredible scholar. How can he, in 2 years, master all Sanskrit and become such an expert in Sanskrit grammar and in Nyaya, right, that no one can defeat him in 2 years? At age 10, he was already, after 2 years of study, he was an incredible scholar. That's also an indication of something going on there. And at 14, 15, married to Lakshmi Priya, but she died very soon. And then he remarried to Vishnu Priya. At 16, 17, initiation in Gaya, 24, sannyas. From 24 to 30, he does his tour of South India. And then at age 30 to 36, he's in Jagannath Puri. And every year there is Rath Yatra, and devotees are coming from all over. And it is a great, great event, and so many amazing pastimes are there. And then, in the last 12 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes so deep in his own ecstasy that he can no longer relate to the world. And he's just becoming mad in his transcendental love. Only talking about Krishna, Krishna, he doesn't bother with anything else. At the age of 48, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world. So appearing in 1486, and so that puts his disappearance at 1534. Okay, we left that for what it is. Things we have to skip now. Here we see Lord Chaitanya just after he has taken sannyas. And everyone is just at the end of the sannyas, it was an anticlimax, because first everyone was shocked that Nimai was taking sannyas, horrified. And he called for a barber to shave his head. The barber said, no, I cannot do it. No, I cannot do this. This is too much. So Lord Chaitanya went to Katra, where he took sannyas, he came across the river, it is said that there in Katra, there is the place where Lord Chaitanya's haircutting ceremony was going on, and in that place there is still a samadhi. There is the samadhi of Sri Gadadhara Das, who is there, and there's the samadhi of Mahaprabhu's hair. And in the corner there's also the samadhi of the barber who shaved Mahaprabhu. That's nice, isn't it? So you can go to that place and pray for mercy. Because this year, of course, is the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya's sannyas. So it's not an ordinary time. So especially, that's why I felt I should say a few things about Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi. And of course, the last few days in the morning class, somehow or another, there was a lot of topic on sannyas, because of Bhagavad Gita, because of me. But one of the things I was just going to talk peacefully about other things, chant Hare Krishna, things like that. It was all sannyas.
Anyway, don't worry, no one will take sannyas. Right corner. So it's the samadhi, and that's the hair. In the middle is the hair, and on the left side is kadavra das. And then, I was mentioning something from the Chaitanya Mangal, written by Gulchand Das Thakur, another biography, wherein it is described that Lord Chaitanya wanted to take sannyas, and his mother asked him, what is going on? She could see it. You're not going to take sannyas, is it? Couldn't lie, so he said, actually, I was just planning to. And then she gave so many arguments, how could he do such a thing? And he was arguing back, and she was arguing back, and it's going back and forth for a long time. And finally, he said, Mother, is it true that sooner or later a son has to leave home? That's generally the case. She said, isn't it true that the son has to leave home and go into the world and to make a fortune and bring it back to his parents? Isn't that so? That was the tradition, of course, nowadays. But anyway, isn't it like that? He said. She said, yes. He said, so I want to go and bring the fortune of Krishna Prem and then bring it back to my mother. After that, what could she say? So then she let him go. But when the time came, he got up in the middle of night from bed and was about to leave the door, and Mother Sachi was blocking the doorway. And how he got past, she never knew, but somehow or other he slipped out. And then he walked in the night, and in the morning he came to Shantipur and he swam across the river. And as he swam across the river, it was, and all the arrangements were made for his sannyas. People couldn't believe it. No, he's such a young, wonderful personality. The glory of Namadvip. See this handsome young man with his broad chest, with his Brahman thread, which was Ananta says himself, on his chest. How can he take sannyas? He's too young. It's not possible. But he did. The Bhagava didn't know how he did it, how he shaved his head, but somehow or other he did. After that, he gave up his profession. He never shaved a head again. He couldn't do it anymore. He became a sweet maker. That was it. And Lord Chaitanya, as he took sannyas, it is said that everyone was just in a state of shock. But then after the ceremony was over, Kesava Bhakti, the sannyas guru, said that, I had a dream last night, and in the dream, I was offering you sannyas, and I was speaking certain mantras in your ears. And Lord Chaitanya said, what were those mantras? And then he said those mantras, and then Kesava said, yes, are these the correct mantras? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes. So in one way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first initiated Kesava Bharati, then Kesava Bharati initiated him. With the same mantra that he received from the Lord. So then after the initiation, Lord Chaitanya just became swept up in ecstasy and began to dance. And suddenly the whole mood changed from sadness into this ecstatic dancing which we saw here on this picture. And everyone just went beyond himself. Because for him, sannyas was a wonderful liberation. His wife, she was at the time only 16 years old. And she lived somewhere until her 92 or 93. And so, for 75 years, she was worshipping this deity of Lord Chaitanya, which is still to be found nowadays in Navadvip. Dameshwar is the name of the deity. So this is also going on. I earlier on spoke to you about the three dhams, and I wanted to I explained a little bit how Krishna consciousness spread through three dhams, and that it was in a different mood. I said in Bengal, Nityananda, he preached and by his ecstasy and it spread everywhere. One of his disciples was Ram Aviram, who had a whip. And anyone who got touched with that whip became ecstatic. It is described in Bhakti Ratnaka how Srinivasacharya went there. And this whip was called the Jai Mangal. And Srinivas came, and Ram Aviram. Aviram just. And then Ram Aviram. And then he's going to do it the third time, and then the wife of Aviram left his arm and said, no, stop. He still has to do some preaching. He will become too ecstatic. So these devotees of Lord Nityananda, they were quite ecstatic. And then there was one devotee, Udaharan Dutta. Udaharan Dutta was an interesting person. He was from the Subarna Varnik community, which is basically a goldsmith, jeweler background. So he was giving Nityananda so many jewels. And Nityananda was wearing jewels everywhere. A ring on every finger or more, sometimes a few rings. He had jewels on his turban, jewels around his neck, some dacoits. So he said, this man is worth a fortune. If we just grab those jewels, we've got it made for life.
That was okay.
So Nityananda was a highly ecstatic personality. In the mood of the cowherd boy, he had a red iron stick. He would throw it up in the air and catch it in different ways. And all the cowherd boys also. So this mood of Lord Nityananda spread all over Bengal. The interesting thing is that Udaran Dutta was in his village. Every year there is a big mela, and then the community of his particular caste is all going there. And actually Prabhupada belonged to that community. So Prabhupada as a child went there many, many times to this annual festival in this place. So it is certainly a place to visit, a special place to visit for us. Not just because of Udaran Dutta, but also because of Srila Prabhupada. So we should remember that place, Udaran Dutta Thakur, and we should see that birthplace. Alright, let me show you a little bit. Let's begin with Jagannath Swami Nayana Patagami Nayana Patagami Avatune. That was a special moment of the Rati Yatra. Why was it so special? Well, Lord Chaitanya, after taking sannyas, he went to South India, and he went all over South India, and of course, he was ecstatic. And he performed this ecstatic kirtan, and it said, many people came. And Lord Chaitanya swept up people in the kirtan, and they would become ecstatic. And then they would go to their village, and then the whole village would become ecstatic. And like this, Lord Chaitanya's world would really touch South India, without a doubt. We have only one doubt, and that is at least those who are from South India. We don't find many temples dedicated to Lord Chaitanya or anything like that in South, is there? Not so much. So Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how many people became caught up. But we understand also that Lord Chaitanya, he had no scriptures, he had no temples, he had no movements, he was not initiating. So there was nothing formal, nothing structured. And therefore it's not so surprising that actually not so much remained at that time. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya, after 6 years traveling through South India, returned to Jagannath Puri. Immediately, a message went to Bengal, and all the devotees from Bengal came as fast as they could. In less than 15 days, they were there. And immediately, they came before the Lord and they started to have sankirtan. And it is described that sankirtan was, those kirtans were not ordinary, it was prem sankirtan, it says. No one in all of Puri had ever seen such ecstatic kirtan. No one had ever seen such spontaneous dancing. Although every year they had Rabbi Hapa and they would bang the bones and they would take out Lord Jagannath, no one had ever seen such dancing, such kirtans. And when Lord Chaitanya came and danced in Bhattagatra, it was just inconceivable. When Lord Chaitanya came to Bhattagatra, never before had he shown such ecstasy. When we perform Rati Yatra, usually it's preaching that we think of, we're spreading mercy to so many. But Lord Chaitanya in his Rati Yatra was more an internal experience, where he was in the mood of the gopis, pulling back Krishna to Vrindavan. And he was in such ecstasy and in such separation. Yes. So it was the first time that he really publicly displayed this ecstasy of separation in Jagannath Puri. Lord Chaitanya's stay in Jagannath Puri, most people didn't understand much of his philosophy at all. Even during Bhakti Yatra, they didn't understand him. See, for us it's easy, because we have the books, so we know, what his Lord, what Lord Chaitanya's mood was, that he's in the same mood of Radharani. But people couldn't understand. He was there, Jagra, Jagra, Jagra. Why is he crying so much? Nobody knows. Why is he crying so much? Why is he all the time falling on the ground? Why? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. What is now known to us so easily? Nobody knew. But everyone who was there was dancing in a way and calling out, like, oh, in a way, like we have never done it. Although we know everything, we don't have the same mood of ecstasy that they had. We had the theory, and they had the practice, and they didn't have the theory. Right? Like that. Yes. And then, so in this way, in Bengal, the ecstasy of Nityananda, in Puri, Lord Chaitanya stayed for a long time, and said, he changed Orissa. It said that Orissa was a state that particularly was very much influenced by Buddhism. And there was so much Sunyavat philosophy. Everything was nil, everything was zero. As Buddhism says, it's all false, it's all illusion, nothing exists. It is said there was so much Buddhism that at one point in the history of Orissa, Lord Jagannath was called Buddha Jagannath. Yes, they were worshipping as Buddha Jagannath. That much Buddhism was there in Orissa. And historians, I read a book from a famous Oriya professor who was a historian, and he said, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Orissa, he destroyed the original Orissa culture. He said, he just drove out the whole culture. He said, and the whole Sunyavad was finished. That was pretty good. When I read it, it was ecstatic to read, that the historians, they couldn't understand, but they nicely recorded what happened. And he drove out the Sunyavad. And it said that in every house, even while he was alive, they started to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Oriyas all started to chant Bengali bhajans about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although they couldn't pronounce it properly. But they all started to sing the Bengali songs. And some official Mahaprabhu mandirs were opened, where he was worshipped as the Supreme Lord during his lifetime, even in Orissa, although they didn't understand. Of course, there were also some bogus followers that came up. There was one particular. There were five particular persons known as the Panchasakha. They claimed to be five friends of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these five friends, they wrote biographies about themselves, how they were very close with Lord Chaitanya. but of course they were not at all following his teachings. And one was Jagannath Das. And Jagannath Das, he actually wrote this Oriya Bhagavatam, where he wrote an extra 13th chapter, and in the 13th chapter he wrote about Sunyavadi, basically explaining how the whole Bhagavatam was actually about Buddhist philosophy. Yeah? That's what he was explaining. So, and then he went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to present his Bhagavatam to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wanted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to read it. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in Oriya, he says, Atri Bari, which means it is too great. Too great. Too great. I cannot hear it. It is too great. Atri Bari. So this Jagannath became very proud. And from that day on, he took that as a title. And he called himself Jagannath Das Atri Bari. Yes. And a whole new cult was born, the Atibaris. And you may have heard the biography of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that story how there was a certain Bhikkhu Sen who said he was an incarnation of the Lord, and he was a powerful yogi with long hair who was also performing Ras Lila pastimes with the ladies, even married ladies and so on. So, therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as a magistrate, arrested this man, and then he became very ill. And then in the end, they cut his hair, you know, and then he lost his power. He was an Atibari. Just see. Yeah, so these Atibaris, they became a whole cult. And at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there were about 15,000 Atibaris, both in Oriya, in Orissa, and in Bengal. So many Atibaris. So it is interesting to see how all that was coming up. So in Orissa, Lord Chaitanya had not so much bona fide following. Some, but he didn't spread the teachings so much there. In Vrindavan, teachings were spread very seriously. Because in Vrindavan, we had the six Goswamis. Naturally, we know what's happening. Na na chastra vichara naite nipuno sadhana samstapako. Establishing the principles of religion, sadhana samstapako, the six Goswamis. So, where the six Goswamis were, there it was not possible to have misconception. So, around them were all strong philosophers who really understood the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Vrindavan became the seat of the teachings of Mahaprabhu. Rupa and Sanatan, it is said, they were from East Bengal, we heard this morning, from Atto. But when they were students, they were outstanding. So the Nawab Hussain Shah, who was the king and very cruel, he made them an offer that they couldn't refuse. Namely, either you join the government or your family katam ho gaya. We will join the government. So Rupa Sanat said, yes, of course, you join the government. So they joined the government. And then they moved towards the western side of Bengal to a village named Ramakeri, which was situated on the bank of the Ganga. It's a beautiful place. If you ever have the time, by all means go there. It is really a very wonderful place with trees and the Ganga. And there, Rupa and Sanatan lived. And there they made their own replica of Vrindavan. And there, they had many cottages on the bank of the Ganga. And these cottages, they were to invite different brahmanas. So they were inviting all kinds of learned brahmanas from all over India to come. And many great scholars and pandits came and resided there for some time. And every day, they had big discussions on scripture, Bhagavatam, and so on. So, therefore, one can just imagine what caliber these Bhagavatam lectures were. And one can just imagine how learned Rupa and Sanatana were after hearing from all these amazing scholars. So they indeed, they themselves were extraordinary scholars. And of course they wrote these various books. Rupa Sanatana Goswami was writing Bhagavatamrita, Hari Bhakti Vilas. Rupa Goswami was famous as the Rasacharya, as the one who understood the mood of Rasa as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught it, and he actually explained it in his books. Radhana Das Goswami, he was teaching a special mood. It is said that Srila Rupa Goswami, he wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which we all know as Nectar of Devotion, but he wrote also a book, a follow-up to the Nectar of Devotion, which is called Ujjvala Nilamani. This Ujjvala Nilamani is a book which describes, gives us a lot of information about Krishna and his eternal pastimes and with the gopis, and it explains to us that Krishna had different groups of gopis. And it explains that some of these groups, they were in competition with Srimad Radharani, the followers of Chandravali. This Chandravali, she is in competition with Krishna, and her followers are all in competition with Radharani's group. But Radharani also has her own group. And Lalita is in that group, and Vishakha is in that group. And the assistant of Lalita is Rupa Manjari, and Rupa Manjari is Rupa Goswami. And that we are actually coming in that line, in the line from Srimati Radharani to Lalita to Rupa Manjari or Rupa Goswami. And then, in this way, Raghunath Das is pointing out our lineage, the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is particularly the party of Radharani, in Radha Dasya, as being the servant of Radharani. So this is a very deep internal point. But there is the highest quality of surrender and devotion found in that party, as being the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani. Well, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was so expert in Bhagavatam, he could chant the verses in different meters and gave amazing Bhagavatam lectures every day, and people would be mesmerized and sit at his feet and just hear Bhagavatam all day. His lectures were just so powerful. Gopal Bhatta, we know from the Radha Raman temple, he started the deity of Radha Raman. He had the Shaligram Shila, had the desire to worship a deity, and one day it said his Shila transformed into a deity. Gopal Bhatta also worked on the Hari Bhakti Vilas, and then the six Goswamis, they excavated many temples. Sanatan did a Madhavan temple, Rupa did Radha Govinda, Raghunath did Radha Kund, Jiva Goswami did Radha Nara. So Jiva Goswami came a little later than the other Goswamis, and he was the greatest scholar of all. And he wrote so many verses. So it is Jiva Goswami who gave the Gaudiyas their theology. And then, when Vrindavan flourished, and flourished and flourished, and more temples came, and more devotees came, then Rupa Goswami built that big temple, Radha Govinda, seven stories high, and on top there was a huge ghee lamp, which was lit every night, and the flame was so high that the light could be seen in Agra. And Aurangzeb said, "What is that light that is shining so bright?" And then Aurangzeb came to Vrindavan and took four stories of the temple. And Aurangzeb ransacked Vrindavan and destroyed temples and deities. And it was a rupee a head for a Vaishnava. And in those days, a rupee was a lot. And in the evening, they would stack up the heads and they would collect the rupees. And they would take the deities of the temples and put them under the steps, so that people would would walk over the deities. So then, how could it happen in Vrindavan? How could it happen to Krishna's devotees? How is it possible? We are shocked. Yeah.
What year was that?
Approximately 1550. Approximately. I have a book with the exact dates, but can't remember. But approximately 1550. Maybe slightly even later. Somewhere around there. So that was such a heavy thing for Vrindavan. And that was a setback. Yeah. Anyway, leaving this past the attack.
There's a question.
Yes.
I had the impression that the law was written by Jesus.
Yes, it is. Oh, but no, he didn't write it. He helped.
Okay.
Actually, Prabhupada did all the work. He compiled. He compiled the whole thing.
Right.
In note form. And then Jiva Goswami elaborated on that. So Prabhupada did all the work. Something has also happened to my it has wiped out some oh, that's terrible. Anyway, just as Atul is experiencing some problems, me too.
Just add a small question.
Yeah.
Without raising any issues per se, but then I was reading to the Lord Krishna says to the devotees that if anything happens to you, I'm always there to take care of
protection.
Yeah.
And I knew you would raise that.
Yeah. was this supposed to be a lesson for the devotees to reaffirm their faith that this is part and parcel of this new age and we need to be stronger and not be demoralized by that?
Well, something like that. The point is this, Krishna will protect his devotee. Always. Always. Rest assured, Krishna will protect his devotee. But not necessarily the body of his devotee. He will definitely protect the soul, but not necessarily the body. He may protect the body of his devotee, and he may not. So in some cases, he did not protect the body, but certainly he protects the soul of his devotee. So that one must understand. So it's not always, how is it possible that such calamities can happen to devotees? Krishna protects the soul. Even nowadays, sometimes some atrocities have happened to devotees. But we know that Krishna has never forsaken his devotees. Name bhakti panasyati, my devotee will never perish. So some devotees don't time to move on to the next destination. But Krishna will protect them. So one has to have strong faith. Alright. I'll start talking from the without the computer now. We can in fact turn it off. I don't know how we turn off this projector. I can just turn it off, no problem. It will not get overheated. It doesn't need to cool. Wait, it's doing something. Good. Yes. So, Lord Chaitanya was gradually becoming more and more absorbed in that mood of Vrindavan, in that mood of the devotees, and in that mood of being very eager to always be with Krishna. The devotee has this one desire, to serve Krishna all the time. And a devotee is not really asking any material reward for that service. He's not asking, please protect my life. He's not asking, please give me health. Please give me wealth. Nothing like that. The devotee is asking, please, please allow me to continue to serve. So the devotee is not asking anything. The only thing the devotee is asking for is service. But still the devotee desires one thing. And the devotee desires that to see a little spark of recognition for that service in the eyes of Krishna. It's just like my grandmother used to love cooking, making pancakes. And she would make stacks of them, and we would eat like 30 each, me and my brother, until we burst, you know. And then when she would see that we were actually sort of ecstatic, that was her ecstasy. But she had to see that little spark of ecstasy in our face. In the same way, the devotee wants to see that in Krishna's face. And wants to see that Krishna is actually happy with my service. Krishna is actually really likes this service. That's what a devotee wants. Right? And everything is really done for that, to attract Krishna to the point, and to see in Krishna's eyes, wow, that was wonderful. That's what we want. That's what we are after. So we do want something from Krishna. We want Krishna's heart. We want his attention. We want to touch his heart. That is what a devotee wants. So in this way, devotees are always eager, always very eager to serve Krishna, to attract Krishna in this way. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't waste a moment. And his ecstasies were going deeper and deeper. It is said that when devotional ecstasy manifests, that the topmost stage is called, well, when love of God begins to come, then there are different ecstatic transformations, shivering, the hair standing on end, and things like this. It said, first that love of God, it comes in the smoking stage, not smoking cigarette stage, but in the smoking stage, is referring to, we can maybe open the curtains now, it's day, it's not night anymore. Light and air are okay. Yes, not in the smoking stage in that sense, but like a fire that's beginning to smoke, but not fully lit. And then gradually it starts to manifest more. Until it comes to the intensely blazing stage, where it is out of control. That was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's situation. Completely out of control, his love of God. What can we say? Overwhelming, so strong, nothing had ever been seen like that. And we, of course, can think about that, that is the goal for us also, that eventually we have to reach that goal of developing our eagerness to just serve Krishna. And that's what this movement is about. And that's what it means to be a devotee. Right? More enthusiasm. Yes. There is no limit to what we can do. As a temple also, there is no limit to what we can do together. What kind of festivals we can organize. And we can go deep. Remember the pastimes of Krishna. Act them out in plays. You are doing regular plays? Oh. Oh. But Lord Chaitanya himself was doing plays with his devotees. And they were acting out the pastimes of Krishna. So you should also act out the pastimes of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. You should do. And you just become that personality. You just become Narada Muni. So, in this way, sometimes the devotees would would perform plays on Nrisimha Chakravarti, they would get Lord Chaitanya got in the mood of Nrisimhadev. And he got so serious in that mood that people were running in all directions. Yes. So this is how we are actually doing our devotees. It's our spiritual life. We're getting more and more absorbed in remembering. So place is very important. So I think that we've touched on a real sore point here. Right? The Melbourne Temple needs place. Yes, big place. Yes. Oh yes. It's too much, eh? He's quiet now. Not completely. Little more. Yes. Yeah. How many times did we have to go through this? Birth after birth, life after life. So let us just find out these pastimes. Like there is one book, it's called Chaitanya Chandraya Natak. It is a play, and it is describing Lord Chaitanya. And it's describing, it starts with Rath Yatra, and it is in Jagannath Puri. And it says there is this huge crowd, and everyone is in ecstasy, and the rath cart is beautifully decorated with banana trees, and the people of Orissa are dark, and it just looks like tamal trees, you know, dark wood trees, and everyone is thinking of Vrindavan, and it is so wonderful, and everyone is happy, except one person. Maharaj Prataparuda, the king of Orissa, he is depressed, totally depressed in the middle of Rath Yatra. Why? Why is he depressed at Rath Yatra? Who is depressed at Rath Yatra? Not me. There's another thing now for me, it's a bigger Rath Yatra. I will also tell you. We want a chariot. We want a chariot. I'm trying to make a revolution. But if you want a revolution, I will come if you have a chariot. No chariot, no swami. Yes. Because this is Lord Chaitanya's movement. These two, Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are together. So we should act out these pastimes. And the more we act them out, the deeper grows our meditation. You know, when you act something out, you really go into it. Really. So we should act out all these pastimes and get better. So Chaitanya Chandraya Natak was showing Maharaj Prataparuda, the king of Orissa, in separation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because that Rath Yatra where he was depressed was a Rath Yatra after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left the land. And it just was not the same anymore. To him, Rath Yatra without Mahaprabhu was, he had no interest. No. So that's how the book starts, with the attachment of the king and with the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then it just goes back to Navadvip, and we remember how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down on the altar in the house of Srivas and was recognized as the Supreme Lord, and people from everywhere were coming and they were bathing Lord Chaitanya spontaneously. And everyone was in ecstasy. But, hey, children, I will take my Nrisimhadev form. Not as good as Lord Lord Chaitanya, but I can scare a few kids. So, it is said that during that time when they were actually bathing, the first Abhishek, Lord Chaitanya, everyone was in ecstasy, but there were two personalities who were not happy. This time too. It was Kali and Sin personified. And Kali was there. And Kali was in a depressed mode. And Kali said, "It's finished." And Sin said, "Oh, look, look, look. They're worshipping him. He will be proud. We will catch him with pride." Kali said, "Ah, forget it. It's not going to work, you know." And then said, "No, Sin said, look what they're offering to him. So many things. He will become attached to all these things. We will fan the spark of his greed. And in this way, we'll sabotage his movement." Kali said, "Sin, shut up. Yeah, you don't know who you're dealing with. It's useless. We are finished." So this part of the play is interesting because we remember that in 1967 or 68, Srila Prabhupada called Hayagriva, who was interested in a play, and then Prabhupada said, "Oh, you like to do a play? I'll give you a play." And Prabhupada gave him that play about Kali, actually, and how Kali was getting all overwhelmed now that Mahaprabhu was here. Seeing that he was losing ground. And then the devotees, in due course of time, performed the play. And Sudama plays Kali. And he was a good Kali, convincing Kali. And Prabhupada was so happy with that play. He was very happy with that play. So in this way, we can see how much Srila Prabhupada lived in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Prabhupada was on the boat, on the Jaladuta, crossing the ocean, having two heart attacks, Prabhupada still carried on. And Prabhupada said, "My only solace is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita." That's all we have, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And at that time, because Prabhupada also said, it is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that makes us different. He said, like Bhagavad Gita, everyone has Bhagavad Gita. Every Sampradaya wrote a commentary on the Gita. Srimad Bhagavatam, so many have commented on Bhagavatam. But Chaitanya Charitamrita is unique. And it gives the most intimate, most detailed descriptions of love of God. So, what you do? Pick it up sometimes. Why not? So, the first seven chapters are quite heavy philosophical. But if you go a little further, somewhere to the middle, in the Adivida you get the child pastimes, in Madhya Vida, oh, so many interesting pastimes. So in this way, we can read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that is my recommendation to you. I guess the purpose of this seminar is to spark some interest and that you read it and, at your leisure sometimes, because we'll get a better idea of what we're part of, really. And what is the difference between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement and the general practices of Vedic culture. There is a difference. Srila Prabhupada said, the Vedic culture offered us a process for reformation which may be compared to the process of the goldsmith making jewels. He has a very fine hammer and he is fine with that fine hammer, tap, 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 in different ways trying to shape and form the ornament. But Lord Chaitanya's movement is based on Sankirtan. And Sankirtan, it is the hammer of the blacksmith. And in one big blow,
poof.
Right? Job's done. To say it in an Aussie way, job's done, mate. Don't worry. That's how it is that Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement can reform our heart very quickly instead of very slowly. And what is the secret? The secret of Lord Chaitanya's movement is that it operates on taste. It is by taste. By taste, gradually one makes little taste and more taste, and it is by taste that we change instead of by duty. Maybe your religious duty. India is a little tired of the religious duty. They want something West is best. Everyone knows. So, but taste, a higher taste, yes, that everyone wants. So this movement operates on taste, and the taste is there for those who dive into it. If you chant Hare Krishna, you can chant, you can murmur it, or you can really try to chant. If you chant 16 rounds in deep meditation, then just see the result. Then see the result. If we perform a play and we try to really follow the Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat nicely and depict the pastime really as it is in the book, then the book comes to life and we become really purified in such a play. The actors the most, the audience also, but the actors even more than the audience. So we should get our different members of the audience and start performing such pastimes of the Supreme Lord to become deeper in our meditation. So if we go deep in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and mercy, we gradually understand that we actually depend on that mercy. So, one more devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who we met in South India, was Prabodhananda Saraswati. Prabodhananda Saraswati was the uncle of Gopal Bhatta, and he was actually the one who had taught him everything that he knew. So Gopal Bhatta was learned, so what to speak of Prabodhananda Saraswati. So he also wrote a book about Lord Chaitanya, a biography. It is short and it is very strong because his faith was very strong. So I will read you a few verses so you can just get an idea of the mood of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Even one who is untouched by any piety, who is completely absorbed in irreligion, who has never received the merciful glance of the devotees or been to any holy place sanctified by them, will still ecstatically dance, loudly sing, and even roll about on the ground when he becomes intoxicated by tasting the nectar of the transcendental mellows of pure love of God given by Lord Chaitanya. Let me therefore glorify that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now this one, try to understand this one. It's maybe a little shocking. What benefit did the world attain when Lord Ram, Lord the Sringa, and many other incarnations of Godhead killed so many Raksasa and Daitya demons? How important is it that Lord Kapila and other incarnations revealed the path of Sankhya and Yoga? How glorious is it that Lord Brahma and other Guna avatars create, maintain and destroy the material universes? How auspicious is it that Lord Varaha lifted the earth from the Karmanaka ocean, we do not consider any of these activities to be very important. The most important thing that Lord Chaitanya has revealed, the great splendor of pure love for Krishna. Let us glorify that Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Strong. That is the fact. All the other incarnations of the Lord, they came to annihilate the principles of irreligion, to annihilate demons, establish Dharma, but no one came to give such ecstasy. So it's unique. This moment is unique. Only once in a day of Brahma is it happening. It's not Vedic culture. It is not a Vedic culture revival movement. It is more. It is more than what Vedic culture ever gave. Even that which was not given by the Vedas. Dharmasya tatvami itam guhayam is found through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya. To Lord Hari, his eyes, now like millions of rain clouds, shedding torrents of tears, the opulence of pure love, Krishna making him laugh at millions of Vaikuntha worlds. So even Vaikuntha is not interested. Only Golok. Only Golok. Not even Vaikuntha. He laughs at Vaikuntha. Not interested. Interested in the highest. Creating great tidal waves in the ocean of mercy, splendidly dressed in wonderful saffron garments as glorious as the sunrise, and glowing with the nectar of pure love of Krishna, made a wonderful and handsome moon of Lord Chaitanya, which has risen from the ocean of Sachi's womb, enter the sky of your heart. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, his own holy names, which bring auspiciousness to the world, his hand trembling with love as he touches the knotted string about his waist to count the number of necks. So Lord Chaitanya was wearing a string with knots and he was, instead of beads, and he was chanting all these knots. His face bathed in tears as he pumps and goes, eager to see his own form, Lord Jagannath, and bring great delights to the eyes of all. May the golden form of Lord Hari protect you all. Just a few more. Talk of impersonal liberation will not become bitter. The shackles of blind adherence to social and Vedic convention will not become loosened. And the tumultuous debate of Vedic scholars on the merits of various useless spiritual paths will continue. As long as a devotee who is like a bumblebee drinking the nectar of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet does not appear before the eyes. This is written 500 years ago. Not now, coming out of this con. No, 500 years ago this is written. Interesting. Saying 500 years ago, saying the shackles of blind adherence to social Vedic convention. And that's a strong statement. The shackles will never become loosened. There is something more than just convention. The deeper meaning of that Vedic convention, that is found in this movement of Lord Chaitanya. The real meaning of the Vedas. To be fully absorbed in loving service to the Supreme Lord. Lord Chaitanya's worship by the Upanishads. Lord Chaitanya destroys the pride of the arrogant demigods and sages who do not worship his lotus feet. Ah, what person is so fortunate that he has personally seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Let renunciation be multiplied millions of times. Let millions of virtues, beginning with peacefulness, sense control, tolerance and friendliness, be multiplied millions of times. Let there be millions of meditations on the words tatvam asi, Let there be devotion to Lord Vishnu, multiplied millions of times. All this taken together does not even equal 1 millionth part of the multitude of perfect transcendental qualities possessed by the great souls who find transcendental bliss in the splendor of the toenails of the dear devotees of Srimad Chaitanya Charitamrita. But strong, isn't it? He is strong. But it gives the mood of Lord Chaitanya's movement. That's why I read these few verses for you. So much more in this small book. The world of Lord Chaitanya is something unique, taking us to another level. How did we get here? I don't know. Why are we here? Why we? I don't know. When I was 6 years old, I wanted to be a lawyer. Why? I don't know. Maybe I was in the last life. Then later, I wanted to be a famous music star. And in between, maybe a big sportsman. But I never thought, when I grow up, I'm going to become a Hare Krishna. And I don't think any of you either. Is it? Huh? I don't think.
It didn't even know.
No, same here. No idea. And why us? Why us? Why are we here? But somehow or other we are. And that is, we must, somehow or other we have received that mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why not? Why? I don't know.
Prabhupada's mercy.
Huh?
Srila Prabhupada's mercy.
Maybe, Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Maybe some of you, maybe some, have performed piety in last life. In my case, maybe I was a worm in the last life, and maybe a Vaishnava spit, and maybe it landed on my head. Maybe. And then you are very fortunate as a worm, if that happens. Who knows? Maybe we got the mercy of the Vaishnavas, but somehow or other we are here. We are here. So, now let us slowly try to understand where we are. Maybe we didn't come for these reasons, but gradually we begin to appreciate where, what kind of movement is this? It is a movement based on higher taste. So, let's try it out. Let's see, what is this? What more you got? Today, we only scratched the surface. In Radhadesh we do a seminar which goes for a week and then we have 20 hours and then we scratch only the surface. Some are absorbed in reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and about Lord Chaitanya every day of their life for 50 years and they scratch only the surface. And if just what is on the surface already is so full of taste, what will it be like when you go deeper? Therefore, Krishna's Kaviraj said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya, Karana Vichara, Vichara Garita Chaitanya Bhagavatamakara. If you are indeed interested to find out, then just try to understand what is this mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if you do so, your heart will fill with amazement. That is my conclusion today. So thank you very much for your attention and sitting through such a long seminar. I admire your perseverance. You are a tough audience. Or you must have a lot of taste. So please. Read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. All right. Yeah.
translate and then he did the others to elaborate?
So yeah, the first three volumes were the first canto. Because Prabhupada had no money. So he was doing a book at the time. He did the first canto in three parts. And because he didn't know if he would write any more than the first part, he put a lot of special energy in the first part. Everything is there, actually. The whole thing. And then he tried the second part, and he put also so much in there. And so in these three parts, or in this first canto of Bhagavata, so much is there. Even a biography of Lord Chaitanya. But that's only an appetizer. And then when he did Chaitanya Charitamrita, at the end, this is the extra bonus you get. At the end, in the concluding words to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada says that he wrote this book upon the order of his spiritual master. And he said, although my spiritual master has disappeared from this world, he's always present. He said, because Krishna is situated in the heart and always present. And Krishna is not alone. With Krishna, all his associates are also present. And the Guru is also present. He says, thus my spiritual master is always present with me in my heart. And I've written this Chaitanya Charitamrita upon his order for his pleasure. And like this. Yes. It's very deep. So, we can't stop. You can ask your questions after, but officially now, it has ended. The end. But if some still have questions, then, of course, unofficially, we can carry on. For those who want to leave and start making, kids can now start throwing flames through the room, fight with each other. And mothers can stretch and do their yoga. Everything is now allowed. It's a free for all. There are no more rules. Yes.
Well, you explained briefly one of the ecstatic symptoms of Prabhupada, like by crying with tears from his eyes. And also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are so many other mentioned, like his joints become loose, his body actually at one place his blood actually comes from the pores, and
shocking, isn't it? You're a little shocked when you found out this thing. And you were wondering, is this what will happen to me in the Chennai? And you're not so sure anymore. Yes, it is difficult to understand, but amazing things, yes, like that. But that was external, that's just the body. Internally, he was completely in ecstasy at the same time, that you also find.
Yeah.
Internally, he was in Vrindavan and seeing all kinds of amazing pastimes, and he would say, why did you call me back? From the outside, it looked shocking, but from his perspective, he was fully absorbed in the great senses.
Once when Mahaprabhu drowns in the bush, thinking it to be
Yamuna.
Yeah.
And then the joints of his body became loose, and a fisherman caught it in his neck, and he had become all white from being so long in the sea. And then the fisherman touched the body and became overwhelmed by ecstasy, but he thought it was the ghost who was trying to possess him. And then he was running around like mad, calling out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And the devotees found him like that. And they said, what is wrong with you? He said, oh, I've got this ghost. This ghost doesn't look like a ghost. You're calling out, Krishna, Krishna, where is this ghost? Must be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No, it's not. I've seen Mahaprabhu, but this is not him. But in his ecstasy, his body had become very long. He says, this one is very long and wide, and he's just making a sound like, oh, gone, gone. It's a ghost. But it was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his ecstasy. Deeply absorbed in a trance. How can we understand? We can only read about it. We cannot understand. We cannot understand. Just by reading, we try to understand. I've never felt such love for Krishna. You? then we cannot understand. We can only read about it. So don't take on later. When that happens to you, you can tell me what to do. Alright. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We'll take a little break because it's 5 o'clock, this is a Sunday lecture. So I think I'll take a little walk out in the street to stretch my legs. Sitting on this chair.
Indolina Skadumbakanan Maharaj ki.